I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup weekend. Hibs are through and will be joined this afternoon by Dundee or Airdrie, Livingston or Cove and St Johnstone or Hamilton. Celtic v Raith is later today with plenty more to come across the weekend. And if that's not enough, a huge game in the Championship as Falkirk welcome Partick Thistle. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me this afternoon you have, what a trio, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
What a stat that was from Lindsay Hearn in the news bulletin 25 years ago this very day. Celtic lost in the Scottish Cup to Inverness Cali Thistle. Those were the days. It was a punch up in the Celtic dressing room at half time, players refusing to go out and play in the second half. No such drama today for Brendan Rodgers' side. I can't help but feel at 5:30 they're on an absolute high after scoring 9 goals this week so far and talking points all over the place with regard to the Scottish Cup elsewhere. Hibs are already in the last 8, and for a bang average player, how many vital goals does Rocky Bashir score? But will they be joined there today by the like of Falkirk? No, they won't, because they're in the Championship. Dundee, 2 6-0s in a row. Will they be in the last 8? St Johnstone, bottom of the Premiership table, they can be in the last 8. Livy, they could be there as well. And the Celtic surely against Raith Rovers. And Falkirk could go top of the league at Partick Thistle's expense. What do you say, Mark?
Well, what a day we've got. We always love Scottish Cup weekend, don't we? And it's spread across the full weekend at that. And some intriguing fixtures again today. Hugh's right to touch on that Dundee-Airdrie game. Dundee coming off the back of losing 12 goals in 2 games against a struggling Airdrie side, but there's plenty of jeopardy in that one for Tony Dock's team. Livy Cove, Livy flying high in the Championship, but so's Cove, just the league before below, so Paul Hartley's team will fancy that. St Johnstone Hamilton, both teams with problems. John Rankin berated off the pitch last week. St Johnstone though have turned it around, so I might be playing sailing. And then later on tonight, Barry Robson go back to his old club. He's got a little bit of a tune out of Raith, but Celtic will be too strong for them.
Yeah, the Scottish Cup is always known for cup shocks. We love a cup shock in here, but I'm looking at that fixtures, I'm looking at the draw. I can't see me pick one out. I think the biggest shock will be if Roger Hannon enjoys Livingston and Cove. But you look at tomorrow, Aberdeen, Dunfermline. Last night was probably the one nearest. All team put up a great fight, but unfortunately a Premier League team just ran out too strong, got that goal and put themselves into the draw. I can't see many of the big teams losing over the weekend, Gordon.
What's your sense of adventure, for goodness sake? You've just told us it's 25 years since Super Cali went ballistic. Anything is possible in the Scottish Cup.
I remember standing outside that ground that night and the Celtic players coming out and the fans were trying to kick their cars as they drove past them. I mean,
must have been loving that from a journalistic point of view.
Oh, couldn't wait to get to the typewriter.
I thought you were going to say it's a man who doesn't drive, who doesn't like cars.
couldn't wait to get to the escort somebody was driving.
And then all your clips, you know, all players have a favourite press man to tell you the stories, and then told me at half time, absolute punch up. Mark Viduka refusing to come out for the second half, and oh.
Whatever happened to him as well, eh?
I know.
His career went downhill after that.
Well, listen, we would be hard pushed to match cup drama like that this weekend, but we cling on to the fact that you never know. You never know. So let's see what we've got in store for us. It is spread out a little bit. Hibs are already through. They didn't get it all their own way, but they beat Scott Brown's Ayr United at Somerset Park by a late Rocky Bashiri goal to nil. They can get the feet up this Saturday afternoon and see who joins them. And as an example of what can happen, Leighton Orient have just missed an absolute sitter to equalise against Man City in the 90th minute. That was the gasps you heard from the studio. Do you know what? It's not a sitter, but it's a big chance at the end. Anyway, let's go around the grounds because we've got some fascinating ties across the weekend. So let's start at... where will we go first? How does St Johnstone Hamilton sound? Could we see a top flight team tumble, David Friel, or have Hamilton got too many problems of their own?
They've certainly got problems, Gordon. I'm just wondering if Super Akis are going to go ballistic. I'm not sure. I think from the outside looking in, I'm not sure this would be classed as a glamour tie. To be honest, it's freezing, the pitch looks terrible, and as we said, it's a game between a team struggling in the Premiership and a team struggling in the Championship. However, St Johnstone fans, get yourself to McDermott Park today because Simo Vallecari has promised them that they're in for a treat today. He has vowed that his side will go, and this is a direct quote, full rock and roll as they escape the pressures of the relegation battle. He's a real character, Simo, and he's promised they're going to go out and attack and really go for it. Let's hope he is true to his word. We get some entertainment at McDermott Park. St Johnstone certainly starting to build some momentum as they bid to stay in the Premiership. They followed back-to-back wins over Motherwell with a win over St Mirren last weekend. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Incredible, it's been over 6 years since St Johnstone last won 4 games in a row, but they have a chance to achieve that today, and I think Simo Vallecari, he's a dreamer, as I said, and he'll be dreaming of a long, long cup run. He won't be complacent, but on paper, I think the draw has been pretty kind to him. As you said, Hamilton do have their issues. They sit second bottom of the Championship. Their only win since the turn of the year was against Musselburgh in the last round of the Cup. And we all heard the fury towards John Rankin and his players after last week's home defeat to United. Hamilton fans are not happy. They're a tough crowd sometimes, and they certainly weren't happy last week. Thought the Hamilton manager dealt with that really well, and I'm sure he'll be telling his players to block out the noise and focus on this game. St Johnstone are clear favourites, but I do think Hamilton can probably pose some problems. They do have a threat in the likes of Nikolai Todorov, Kevin O'Hara up front. However, Scott Robinson, who joined from Partick Thistle this week in a swap deal for Scott Martin, can't play because he is cup tied. St Johnstone have been busy. They've been busy in the transfer market as well. And Simo Vallecari hands first starts to Daniels, Belidis and Jonathan Svedberg. So just go through the teams for you. St Johnstone, Andy Fisher is back from illness, he takes his place in goals. It'll be Daniels, Belidis, Bozo Mikulic, Sven Sprangler at the back, Sam Curtis, Elliot Watt, Jonathan Svedberg and Dre Wright across the middle with Taylor Stephen and Victor Griffith in behind Mackenzie Kirk. Subs for St Johnstone are Sinclair Mitchell, Holt, Clark, Carey, Sidibe, Franchak and Duke McKenna. As for Akis, Dean Linus in goals, back three of Dylan McGowan, Sean McGinty and Ricky Lamy, plenty of experience there. Stephen Bradley, Kyle McDonald, Barry Maguire, Stephen Hendry across the middle with Connor Smith in behind Nikolai Todorov and Kevin O'Hara. Subs for Hamilton are Albinson, Longridge, Henderson, Barjonas, Shaw, Tumulty, Gallagher and McKinstry. And the referee at McDermott Park is Nick Walsh.
You're not having it, not having it on your shock card, Hugh Keevans. How would you rate the chances?
No, I'm warming to Simo Vallecari. I like the quote that David brought us there, promising that the team will go full rock and roll. Like, the Dazzler's been singing Elvis all day in the newsroom, so he's up for the rock and roll experience. I like Simo Vallecari's style. They've won their last 2 games and the Akis are clearly in a bad place. So it's Simo for me.
It's going to be a big shock if it had to happen. You look at the two of their record in their respective leagues. St Johnstone 1-6, Hamilton 1-6, both on 21 points. Hamilton second bottom, St Johnstone bottom. But of course, a full division between them. John Rankin not having the best of time at the minute. It'll be one way of getting the fans back on side. We are shocked, but you know, St Johnstone just turned the corner a wee bit, and it'll be interesting if they can back up his quote. It's a big statement from a manager sitting bottom of the league. I know he's playing against Hamilton, who are sitting bottom of the league below, but to come out and say it's going to be full rock and roll and you'll be entertained, you need to back it up then when the whistle goes.
Must have the blue suede shoes on.
I love that sort of a confidence, and quite rightly so. If you'd assessed to me maybe a month ago, you're thinking, oh, Hamilton Akis will go up there, they'll fancy it, St Johnstone aren't great. But they've knocked Motherwell out of the cup at McDermott Park. They won the league game after it. They went to St Mirren, they've won that. They're full of confidence. Hamilton are in a real bad place just now. John's coming under a lot of criticism from the supporters wanting him out. I just cannot see the shock being there.
We will see. We'll see. It would still be a shock, although St Johnstone are bottom of the Premiership, they are at the top table of Scottish football. Akis obviously not, so it would be a shock if John Rankin's side could pull it off. But we'll watch on and see how we go there. Livy Cove, Roger Hannah. I suppose these two will just be delighted that they got each other and gives them a real good chance of progressing, albeit with Livy still favourites.
Absolutely, and I'm not having any of Gordon DL's pessimism, Gordon, I have to tell you. This is a meeting of two of Scottish football's form teams. You could make an argument this could be the game of the day in the fifth round, because David Martindale, he's gone for an incredible treble. He's been to the final of the League Cup with Livy 4 years ago, and in midweek he secured a place in the SPFL Trust Trophy final. They're third in the Championship. They're 5 wins in the bounce, including that semi-final win at Dunfermline on Wednesday night. They won at Ross County, I think that was tipped by Hugh Keevans, in the fourth round. And of course they won at Falkirk, a crucial Championship victory on the TV just 8 days ago. Martindale, he rotates his fullbacks today. Robbie Fraser on loan from Rangers, and Daniel Finlayson come back in with Matthew Clark and Michael Nottingham on the bench. So they go with Jerome Pryor in goal to back forward. Daniel Finlayson, Ryan McGowan, Danny Wilson and Robbie Fraser. Midfield, Rhys McAleer, the skipper Jamie Brandon, and Macaulay Tate on loan from Hearts. And a front three, Robbie Muirhead, Stevie May and Christian Montano. On the bench, it's Hamilton, Clark, Pittman, Yenge, Smith, Ubo Chioma, Nottingham and Shinney. That's for Cove. Well, Paul Hartley's a Scottish Cup winner as a player with both Hearts and Celtic, and Cove are the last team from out with the top two divisions still in this competition. It's 5 wins from their last 6 in all competitions. They're just 1 point behind League One leaders Stenhouse Muir, and Hartley has got ambitions of taking Cove into the second tier for the first time in their history. They suffered a blow through the week. Adam Emsley was recalled by Aberdeen, and there's only one change. That's the enforced change with the absence of Emsley from the team that beat Arbroath last week. Blair Yule starts, but they've got a little bit of cup pedigree in there. Fraser Fivey, the skipper, won the FA Cup with Wigan and the Scottish Cup with Hibs. The left back, Ryan Harrington, he won the Welsh Cup with Connah's Quay Nomads. And at centre back is Aaron Darge, whose brother Rory will captain Scotland against Ireland at Murrayfield tomorrow in the Six Nations. So a big weekend for the Darge family. Cove goal with Nick Suman in goals. The back four, Dylan Lobin, Aaron Darge, Michael Doyle and Ryan Harrington. Midfield, Finlay Marshall, Fraser Fivey, Declan Glass and Connor Scully. And up top, Mitch Meganson and Blair Yule. The subs, Demas Murray, Gillingham, McGrath, Gaffney and Parker. The ref is Matthew McDermott, and there's no VAR at Livy.
There is not. I'm wondering, you statos like Roger Hanna, Paul Hartley not only winning the Scottish Cup for Hearts and Celtic, but did that in back-to-back seasons. Are there many others that will have done that, do you think? Won it with one team, then won it with a different team the following season?
That's a very good question. Neil Thank McCann, you. Maybe?
Maybe. We'll solve that riddle by the end of the day. It just came to me.
Came right back at you with Neil McCann.
You think I would have, like...
He's on fire. I've got to give Roger a bit of credit. He did phone me in the way to Livingston and says, "I cannot believe it, Daz. I must be well in at Clyde. They've sent me to game of today."
Too much sherry in his trifle this morning.
Look at that. This is why he is the top dog. Neil McCann.
Unbelievable. Hearts 98, Rangers 99.
Super. Yeah. Honestly.
That's magnificent, a joy to watch. There's plenty of room.
Any others? Any others out there? No, just those two. We'll get back to it. Thank you to Roger Hanna. I mean, it would still be a shock. They're in different divisions. Set out the rules. No.
The prize for Livy or Cove is to be in that draw Monday night, because there's money to be made here. And you know, surely Celtic and Rangers will both be in the last eight as well. So the big prize is getting Celtic or Rangers.
You say that right? And now we're getting ahead of ourselves. If you're Livy and you happen to go through and get a home tie against St Johnston, you'd rather that, wouldn't you?
No, but
they're not. We're not talking, like, no offence, like, you know, Bunny Rig Rose or Albion Rovers. Livy could see if this draw goes right for them.
Yeah,
they could make real headway in the competition.
Do you know what? Davy Martindale would rather the money, because they're not going to win it. And even if they got to the final, they get a pasting off somebody. So the money.
You told me they wouldn't like to reach the final because they'll lose it. Come on.
No.
Listen, I said the Rangers would get to the Europa League final, and you've all been laughing ever since. Now you're telling me that Livy will get to Hampden for the final.
No, I'm saying that they would rather get to the final and lose than not get there.
And I'm telling you, Davy Martindale and the people at Livy would rather have the money.
Not at all. I think as a manager in the club, you want to go as far as you can the tournament, Hugh. I would have won the Scottish Cup only for the fact that come up against Celtic and Rangers every time.
That's kind of what happened, simple as that.
Because I beat every other Premier League team.
Roger Hanna's now on to tell us Stephen Presley did it as well. Hearts and Celtic.
Time to Google that though.
Yeah, that's not.
Tell me, I'll have all afternoon to do all that, because that'll be a boring game. He's at.
Let's hear from Dave Galloway, who's at Dundee Airdrie. I wonder if that's people's idea of a shock, given the way Dundee's last couple of results have gone.
It really is a must-win for Dundee, Gordon. Those two 6-0 hidings leave them just 1 point off second bottom of the Premiership. They're staring a relegation dogfight in the face, and a defeat today would be a huge blow to already fragile confidence. Airdrie, although propping up the rest of the Championship, are in better form than their hosts with those three back-to-back wins in all competitions, and they'll look to make a solid start. The longer this one remains goalless, the more restless the home crowd will get. And if the Diamonds can score first, we could be in for some Scottish Cup tie. Looking at the team lines then, and Dundee make no fewer than six changes. In come McCracken, Clark Robertson, McGee, Tiffany, Cameron and Larkesh. Out drop Carson, Astley, Silla, Garza, Ingram and Finn Robertson. So it's John McCracken in goals. At the back, Clark Robertson, Antonio Portales and Aaron Donnelly. Midfield, Josh Mulligan, Jordan McGee, Lyle Cameron and Ziad Larkesh, with Sun Adewumi and Scott Tiffany supporting Simon Murray in attack. The subs for the D's today: Carson, Astley, Shochnessy. Great to see him back. The skipper's been out since April with an ACL injury. Samuels, Garza, Finn Robertson, Lopez and Silla. Just a couple of changes to tell you about for Airdrieonians. It's Bruce and Mochrie in for Strapp and Diak. So Kieran Wright in goals. At the back, Dylan McDonald, Craig Watson, Sam Graham and Cammy Bruce. The sitting midfielders, Gavin Gallagher and Dee McMaster. Then it's Lewis McGrattan, Ben Wilson and Adam Frizzell, with Chris Mochrie leading the attack today. The subs for the Diamonds: Hutton, Hancock, McGregor, McStravick, Duffy, Cooper, Bannon and Armstrong. Your match referee here at sunny but cold Dens Park, it's Ewan Anderson, who was also in charge when these teams met here in the Cup way back in August, the hosts winning 6-1 that day. And today there is no VAR.
How do you rate that as a shock potential? Come on, I'm trying to tempt the three of you in.
Airdrie, 9 points adrift at the bottom of the Championship. If Tony Docherty's Dundee lost that match on the back of losing 6 to Hearts and 6 to Celtic, it really would be a bad day. Although they will go into that haunted by the memory of those 12 goals. But Dundee, even if it's narrow, it has to be Dundee.
I would agree with that. You just look at Airdrie's season so far, 3 wins, but look at the goal difference, minus 26. They've lost 42 goals this year. You're going to a Dundee side who have been up and down but carry a threat going forward. So I get 12 goals conceded over 2 games. It's been a horrendous week for Tony Dock, but they'll get the job done, I think, easily today.
Can't afford to lose at Dundee, so because of that situation, I fancy Dundee. They might struggle, but I fancy them get through.
Okay, you could make a case, although we love the Scottish Cup and we champion the Scottish Cup, and obviously knockout competitions are very exciting, game of the day might even be in the Championship, because Falkirk against Partick Thistle is huge. It has various storylines attached as well, and Fraser Wishart is going to bring us up to speed on them.
Yeah, I think you echo my thoughts, Gordon. You know, David Friel, Roger Hanna, myself, rotate first choice for coming to a game, and this week I had first choice and I chose this game because I think it is a huge game in the Championship. I think it's game of the day, virtually a sellout. I was told when I came in there was less than 100 tickets left, and that was 1:30. But that's because Falkirk have led the way virtually all season, and at one point it looked like they were getting away from the rest, playing some lovely football, but they just hit a wee sticky patch here. And since mid-December, when they lost heavily at Ayr United, they've had 2 defeats, 2 draws in the last 6 league games, defeating the Scottish Cup as well, and all that has left Falkirk behind Ayr. They're in second place, but this is their game in hand over Ayr United and Livingston, who are around them, and I want to put them back on top by 2 points. John McGlynn reacted, bringing in a number of players to boost his squad. Eamon Brophy, of course, earlier on in the window, and then the homecoming of local lad Scott Arfield that will give this crowd a real boost. Had a great career and he's back where he made his name, and he starts today. But for Thistle, they've also got promotion hopes, although more likely their chance will come through the playoffs. Spent most of the season in a kind of no man's land in fourth place, not able to keep up with those above them. They're 9 points behind Livy, but also a bit of a cushion between them and Queen's Park and the others who are in fifth and below. 7 points they are ahead of Queen's Park at the moment. But Queen's have brought in a number of players on loan, so Jags just have to be careful. They lost Harry Milne to Hearts for a fee in the window. Brought in Ethan Drysdale, who doesn't start today in return on loan, but he's highly rated at Tynecastle. Do him some good. They've also added Scott Martin. I think he'll be a really good signing in midfield from Hamilton Accies. He's been a good player in the Championship for many years. So an important period of the season for both. Falkirk have air here next week. So today and next week, I think, will go a long way to decide who goes up from the Championship at the end of the season. For Falkirk, they made three changes from that defeat against Livy that Roger was talking about. Out go Lang, McKeever and Stewart. In come Graham Oliver and, of course, Scott Arfield. A 3-5-2 formation. Nicky Hogarth in goals. Cole Donaldson, Liam Henderson and Luke Graham at the back. Across the middle, Keelan Adams, Brad Spencer, Dylan Tate and Scott Arfield and Seb Ross. With up front, Calvin Miller and Gary Oliver. The subs, Ross Monroe, Lewis McCann, Tom Lang, Aidan Nisbet, Darragh O'Connor, Barney Stewart, Finn Yates, Alfredo Aguiman and Sean Mackey. There's been four changes from the draw last week. A disappointing draw at home to Morton for Partick Thistle. Out go Milne, Turner, Robinson and Fitzpatrick. Turner and Fitzpatrick dropped to the bench. Milne and Robinson have left the club. In come Macbeth, Stanway, Martin and Abladi. They go for 4-3-3 formation. David Mitchell in goals. Kanai Omegua, Luke Macbeth, Lee Ashcroft and Dan O'Reilly at the back. In midfield, Ben Stanway, Scott Martin and Stuart Bannigan with Logan Chambers, Brian Graham and Terry Abladi as the strikers. Matthew Faulkner, Aaron Muirhead, Lewis Cameron, Kyle Turner, Dan Mackay, Robbie Crawford, Aidan Fitzpatrick and Xander McKenzie are the substitutes. And the referee today is Ross Hardy.
Looking forward to that a lot. That is a huge game. You add into the mix players like Scott Arfield signing and playing. Lots to get involved with in that fixture, and lots to get involved with when we return, because we'll take a look at some of the week's biggest talking points after these.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are in the studio. We've got the top team around the grounds at this stage on a Saturday. Once we've given you team news, we tend to reflect on some of the week's biggest talking points, I suppose. Although it was the start of the week, it was the week that the transfer window closed. Deadline day was Monday. What was the best piece of business done in January for a Scottish team, Roger Hanna?
Oh, that is a very good question, because there really wasn't too much. You know, a few of the teams, St Johnson that David Field's watching today, have brought in a plethora of players to try and get themselves out of the relegation scrap. But I think the bigger teams, the ones that we tend to focus on in Super Scoreboard, probably had a bit of the what-ifs about it. Patrick Stewart said it was only going to be one or two players for Rangers. He wasn't kidding. Rafael Fernandez on loan from Lille, and the pre-contract for Lyle Cameron. Interesting to hear Philip Clement yesterday saying he would have liked to have got Lyle Cameron in January, but the finances weren't there to do it. They'll have to wait and bring him in the summer. I think he will be a good signing. I think it would have benefited Rangers if they could have got him in now and bedded him in for next season. But it shows you where Rangers are. Celtic had the money to spend. They just couldn't find the right target. I think Matthias Fiskarten is probably more expensive than they were willing to go to. They'll be happy enough to get Kieran Tierney on the pre-contract. They'll be delighted to get Jota back in the building for a lot less money than they sold him for. And the fact that there was no striker didn't seem to cause them a problem against Dundee on Wednesday night, Gordon.
Anything for you, David Field? Anything left field? Anything that's gone under the radar? What's the best piece of business done? Or is it just Jota? Is it staring you in the face?
Yeah, Jota was an incredible signing for Celtic. I actually think you get down to the Championship where it's getting so tight and... you know, this running is going to be so important for all the clubs. I think Scott Arfield could be the player that gets Falkirk over the line. Gordon, to be honest with you, I just think it's an amazing signing for Falkirk at the right time. You know, they need that experience, they need that nous just to get them over the line, and I think Scott Arfield could do it. And in the grand scheme of things, that could turn out to be the best piece of business in January overall.
Fraser, anything we've missed?
Elton Kabangu for me,
good show.
For Hearts, I think I saw him a couple of weeks ago, thought really good attitude. I hear he's a good lad around the place as well. I think he could be one that could fire Hearts way up the table, and they could be a real force between now and the end of the season, Hearts.
That's a good shout. I like that from Fraser. So he's just thoughtful. He knew he was last. He had a bit more time to just pick his moment.
Hearts are going to
Campbell,
be a problem.
Dundee United,
Alan Campbell.
Yeah,
I mean, it breaks my heart, but I think you could be onto something.
By the way, I think Dundee United, if they've ambitions of finishing where they are in the league at the minute, they're going to need some quality, and he certainly is quality.
What about them as a package? Because if you
Dalby, Steyn
and Fiorini and Rory Payton,
Yeah, Peyton's another good addition
not
as well.
Not lost anyone, David, as you say, didn't lose Dalby.
It just goes to show you their ambitions at the start of the season, obviously certainly different. Stay in the league, see how they go, but once they're in that top six and they're sitting in third, the board have obviously said to Jim, on you go and strengthen, they certainly have.
But there was a point when Hearts were second bottom of the Premiership table. I think they're destined to be third top by the end of the season, and I think Kabangu, Fraser's quite right, Kabangu has made an immense difference. Shankland obviously enjoys playing alongside them. They've got Rangers a week tomorrow in the Premiership at Tynecastle. I think that's a very, very dangerous game for Rangers, who incidentally I think have got off lightly. All the focus was on Celtic. As I said to one caller last night on the programme, Brendan Rodgers on Tuesday looked like a man who dropped a tenner and found a fiver. So he was not impressed by the fact that the window closed with no replacement for Kyogo. But Rangers, if they haven't got £400,000 to buy Lyle Cameron, where are they going to get £4.5 million to pay for Oscar Cortez, as they are obliged to do at the end of the season?
And down the leagues, I'm going for Scott Arfield at Falkirk. That could be the one that just tips him over.
I mean, someone else did mention that though.
Who did?
you do need to listen to the show.
Who did you mention that?
Seriously,
who mentioned that?
I mean, it was like three minutes ago.
Who was it?
David
Frail. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to David. There's two guys. I don't listen to David Frail and Fraser.
He sat there for 10 minutes going, I can't wait to hear this.
By the way, the way he said it there, I was like a big revelation. Nobody says Arfield.
It was the first 4 minutes ago.
Just shows you, I am just in tune with
it. Just shows you indeed.
Picking first for next week's games.
It has been easy to cheat on this one though, David, because we've already seen Jota come back and, you know, have a big impact. So you almost don't need to predict it too much. You've seen it in action already. So for a guy that's not really played, for a guy that's supposedly not fit, he seems to be settling in okay.
Yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers probably did him a bit of a disservice, because he said it was going to take maybe a couple of months to get him up to speed. I've been watching Celtic's last two games, Gordon, and I think he's been a standout. Scored, assists. I think he looks really, really sharp. I think he just elevates Celtic. I just think the front three, and there's all the focus on the striker, understandably so. I think Celtic should have got a striker in. However, I think Jota, to get him back for a fraction of the money he sold him for, is just brilliant business.
Yeah, I mean, let's play a bit from Philippe Clement yesterday, because just the chronology of this is, we spoke to Brendan Rodgers early in the week. We've been speaking about the striker all week. Yesterday was just the first time that we've actually had the chance to ask Philippe Clement how he felt about his window and whether Rangers did enough.
We as a club wanted more. We talked about that. At the end, we didn't achieve all the goals that we wanted. And now it's about with this squad going full for everything we want, and that's to win every game. That stays the ambition. Can be. Maybe we lose a little bit more time than we expected on the trajectory that we wanted to make with the squad.
Is it because Patrick Stewart sort of advertised this, Roger Hanna? Is that why it wasn't a surprise? It's not been met with like shock. We didn't get any calls on deadline day really from Rangers fans saying, "Well, I hope we do X, Y, and Z before deadline day," because it was sort of advertised that wasn't going to happen. You have got the manager admitting though they did want to do a bit more.
Yeah, and I think you look at the league, I think Rangers fans are realistic enough to know that, you know, one signing wasn't going to make up the 10-point deficit, or 13-point deficit as now to Celtic. They know where Rangers are financially. They would like a little bit of progress in Europe, beyond the last 16 of the Europa League, and they'd love to get their hands in the Scottish Cup. But Philippe Clement will need to do what the players he's got. I think Danilo returns to training next week. They changed the Europa League squad to include him, Yanis Hadji, Clinton Siala. We saw Rafael Fernandez coming off the bench to make his debut last weekend against Ross County. He looks as if he could be a decent addition as well. And of course, it will give Philippe Clement the opportunity, Gordon, to have a look at some of these younger players. You know, Bailey Rice played the second half last Sunday. Finlay Curtis has had a look at the first team as well. Paul Nseo, guys like that. And this will be their opportunity between now and the end of the season to show whether they can be involved in the future for Rangers.
I suppose we can't help but look forward. Kieran Tierney's coming in the summer. Lyle Cameron's coming in the summer. Looking at players coming in and out. How much of a concern, Roger, do you think there should be over this deal that's in place for Oscar Cortez, or is everyone overreacting and there's a real possibility that he gets his career's worth of injuries out the way now and turns out to be a good signing?
Well, I think everyone inside Ibrox will be keeping their fingers crossed if that's the case. I mean, we've seen nothing of Cortez either in terms of durability or ability on the field to merit a £4.5 million deal. You know, these are the gambles you take when you take these loans with an obligation to buy rather than the option to buy. And Rangers have boxed themselves in getting Cortez. He's no closer to a return to the first team as far as we've seen. He has an awful lot to prove.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser, you'll have seen these types of deals, I suppose. You sometimes a different lens with your PFA Scotland hat on. It is coming more and more into the game, the loan, the obligation to buy. It can work out very well for you. You can then see the risks attached with a deal like this one, I suppose.
Yeah, sometimes it's an obligation, sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's a figure that if the club wants to buy him, then the figure's set there, but the other times it's an obligation, and it seems that that's the case of Oscar Cortez. I feel sorry for Cortez. You know, there's a lad come to Scotland, he's in a foreign country. He's not his fault he's picking up injuries, but he is. And he seems to be this figure where there's always kind of an aggressive kind of attack on him. It's not his fault, but Rangers are going to have to pay that kind of money. And sometimes these things are put into the summer because that's when it's after a different financial year. They've got a budget for the summer they've not got in the summer previously. There's financial fair play kicks in for Rangers and others who play in Europe as well. So these can be very complicated deals, but clearly he's a player that people think has got huge talent. We just haven't seen any of it. You can't say whether he's good, bad or indifferent, because the poor lad has picked up so many injuries. I really feel for him, I really do.
See, on Lyle Cameron, Fraser, we've seen a similar story obviously with Conor Barron. When you move on a free, if you like, and you've been brought through that other club, it can go to a tribunal to set the fee. I think Rangers fans are maybe wondering what would it have cost Rangers to do it now versus what the outcome of that tribunal would be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I know where you're coming from. Well, I think it's a real anomaly, and I've discussed this with the governing bodies in Scotland, is that if you move between Scottish clubs when you're out of contract, when you're at Lyle Cameron, you've no idea what the compensation fee is going to be. You know, set by a tribunal. Conor Barnes was long, drawn out, lawyers, both clubs trying their best to, one to get it down, another one to get it up. If you move to England, FIFA have got set figures, so you know exactly what Lyle Cameron would have cost if he'd moved to an English club. And I think that's the problem here. The problem here is that Rangers and Dundee don't know, if they're negotiating in January, what the final figure's going to be. Whereas if there was a definite figure, like if he moved to England or any other country, then Rangers could perhaps pay £100,000 more than the actual figure, the actual sort of fixed fee, if you know where I'm coming from. So that's where the Scottish system, I think, works against transfers within Scotland.
I'm very happy that he comes. Okay, it's next season. It's part of our plans that we have with the club to develop young Scottish players, or to get young Scottish players with potential. We had enough talks with him that he understands what Rangers is, and Lyle will give his best for Dundee. That's also what I expect from him to do, and to show that he's a good player and to develop also. If the player wants to go on holiday now for 4 months because he trained at Rangers, that would be a really bad sign towards me.
Roger, should or could more have been done to do that now? Does it really matter?
Well, I mean, it's gone now, Gordon. The chance is gone. I think the Rangers would look at it. They clearly don't have the budget at the minute to go and do it, whether it's £500,000, £600,000, £700,000 they would have had to have paid for him. I think it's a good deal for Rangers to get him in the summer. I think he's a better player than Conor Barron, who arrived in similar circumstances from Aberdeen last summer. I've always been impressed with Lyle Cameron when I've seen him. You remember that Dundee midfield that he was in with Luke McCowan and Mo Salah at the start of the season? You know, it worked really, really well for Tony Docherty. He's a Scotland under 21 camp with ambitions to get senior recognition. And for me, and I'm sure Fraser will agree, these are the types of players Rangers and Celtic should be going to try and buy. Celtic had a bid rejected for Lennon Miller before the window closed. And for me, Celtic and Rangers should be going to get the cream of young Scottish talent, and that means Lyle Cameron and Lennon Miller.
It's a mentality test now as well, though, Hugh, isn't it? Because he goes back into the Dundee team today and the spotlight just goes on already. Everything he does well gets scrutinised, everything he does poorly will get scrutinised, and he'll have to find a way to deal with it.
Yeah, if he slips up in any way for Dundee today, the Dundee fans will say, his mind's gone already. He's at Rangers in his head. which is desperately unfair, but you just have to cope with it. It's part of the strong temperament he'll need to show when he gets to Ibrox. You know, there's all sorts of talk midweek that why wasn't he playing against Celtic? You know, was he a little afraid of the idea of going in front of the Celtic fans? I'm sure that couldn't have been the case. Otherwise, he's wasting his time going to Rangers then. He has to be very, very strong temperamentally starting today.
Let's park that for now, because we've got big fixtures to look forward to, not only in the Scottish Cup but in the Championship as well, and we will go back around the grounds when we return.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here in the studio, and we've got the top team around the grounds. Three big Scottish Cup ties and a huge match in the Championship as well. And we're not done there though, Hugh, because later on today, Celtic against Raith Rovers. Just, I was thinking in the wind, has there ever been any notable Cup ties between Celtic and Raith? No.
I remember.
Nah, looking forward to this one tonight though.
I was cut off at I remember there.
It was a wee joke. I'm trying to make sure that Dazzler doesn't bring up his story. Come on.
We've got a long day, Hugh. It'll be coming up.
The most important thing from the Celtic supporters' point of view is what kind of team is Brendan Rodgers going to pick, because it's Bayern on Wednesday. Bayern 3-0 winners last night. Another two goals for Harry Kane. That's 56 goals in 51 appearances for Harry Kane at Bayern Munich. So I think he'll leave out Ademida in case, and we're back to the lighter squad that the manager was speaking about on Tuesday. If they lose Ida, you're only then left with Johnny Kenny, who's so inexperienced and certainly not for Champions League level right now. So what will the Celtic team look like? Because it'll be picked, of course, with an eye on Raith Rovers and continuing the quest for the treble, but also picked with one eye on Vincent Kompany and Bayern Munich.
Would you leave out Jota?
No.
Right. Well, it's the same situation. What happens if Jota gets injured?
But well,
get Young in the mix.
You're getting your favourite player.
That's a big decision for you.
Yeah, so
no, it's not a big decision at all. He's the worst player I've ever seen in a Celtic jersey.
As usual, your hatred for the man is blinding the question. I'm talking about as Gordon says, do you have the same risk with Jota's injury?
But I think they have to take the risk on Jota, because Jota needs time in his legs, and that's why you couldn't ask for fairer than Jota scores at Motherwell on his return. Jota is magnificent against Dundee in midweek in terms of laying on goals for other people. And now you've got Raith Rovers, with greatest respect, on the bottom half of the Championship table. Jota can get in about his business there, get more time in his legs for the big picture on Wednesday.
Yeah, I agree. I know what Hugh's saying. I think that if you look at when Jota come back, David Friel touched on it. I watched Jota the other night there. He looks as sharp as a tack. Some of his touches, everything about him. I totally understand that Brendan Rodgers would start him tonight, but I would not be surprised if he puts him on the bench, because I think he's got the same situation. See, if Jota happened to Jota this afternoon, right, you've got a real problem that you've now got to bring in Hugh's favourite player, Yang, because of the situation by Ida. It's the same way Ida up front.
Where do you stop? Because you say that Alistair Johnson, Carter Vickers, Schmeichel, leave him on the bench. You could go through everyone.
Schmeichel isn't playing.
Oh well, okay.
There you go. So you think, but you've got cover for these people. You'll maybe find that Ralston will play this afternoon. Look, Celtic could play a sort of a second string team in the game, right?
What he calls a second string.
What you call it?
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Yeah. What I call it.
Can I take you back to Falkirk?
Because they've got, doesn't matter. They've still got, if you cannot, like say, I think it's a big game for Kenny, right? Because everybody's been crying out for this kid, and I'm desperate to see him 90 minutes as well, or 78 minutes, whatever. You can't go and play against Falkirk with Celtic at Celtic Park.
Let's leave it there and go back round the grounds, because that's just what's to come later on. It's a 5:30 kickoff, so we will bring you team news a bit later on in the show. I'm interested in the Championship as well. Falkirk, Partick Thistle, Fraser. Two of the pundits gave Scott Arfield their signing of the window because one of them wasn't listening to the other. He's not played since Boxing Day and goes straight in today. All this talk about Jota and so on, I'm quite fascinated by that. 36 years of age, not kicked a ball since Boxing Day. and starts today.
I know, and he made his name as a box-to-box player as well, so that was about his athleticism, getting forward, scored many a good goal for many teams, including Rangers at the tail end of his career as well. So interesting to see where he plays, because the way I've said that was 3-5-2 in the midfield, but he might play further forward to try and get in the box and score a goal or two. But he'll bring something to the team, not only on the park, off the park as well. Great lad, great professional, played at a high level, people look up to him as well, so I think he's a great signing as well. But it'll be interesting to see where he plays today, because I think it's a big game for Falkirk the next few weeks, top of the Championship. Falkirk play Ayr here next Saturday, the Saturday after that Ayr host Livingston, so all the three teams around the top of the league play each other in the next few weeks, so a real critical period. But for Falkirk, they need to win this game first, and then they go into the Ayr game 2 points ahead of them as well. So exciting finish to the season. I agree, I think Arfield will bring a lot to Falkirk. They already had good players. They've bought well in the window, I think, and I still think they'll go on and just pit Ayr to the title. But I think for Arfield, he's back home. He will love probably ending his career here, and he's certainly got a lot to offer still, even at his age.
Mark Wilson's going to have to sit back in silence here as we talk about his employer. Is there a bit of pressure around Partick Thistle, Fraser, or does the fact that it's still, even if things were to kind of not improve, they're still probably going to make the playoffs, so is that enough? How do you see where they are currently?
I think they're in that strange position I said earlier, almost a no man's land, 9 points behind Livy, seven ahead of Queen's Park, kind of getting to the playoffs, but they can't take their eye off the ball. For Thistle, fourth place isn't a disaster. I mean, I think if you start the season, you're saying, right, they'll at least get into the playoffs. I'm a wee bit surprised some of the stick that Chris Doolan has taken, because Falkirk have thought it's a good team. They've also spent a bit of money. Ayr have had money to spend as well, and good money to bring players in. And Livy have come down from the Premiership with the parachute payment from the Premierships as well. So for me, they're probably where I expected them to be. And if you can just keep that fourth place, then all of a sudden towards the end of the season, you've got these playoff games and you've got half a chance of getting yourself up. So this is kind of where I think you would expect them to be. Maybe some fans think they should be up challenging near the top from time to time, but I don't think it's a bad season so far. But they have to just keep a hold of that fourth place, don't let their standards drop and let Queen's Park catch them.
I think it's tough, Mark, because Falkirk have like shaken things up a bit because they've come up and have been so good, and then they keep it going. There's this, do you think expectations risen because there isn't a big hitter in the Championship? So there's no Dundee United, and my goodness, we've seen Hibs and Hearts and Rangers and all sorts in there. But then Fraser's also right, like in isolation, being behind Livy, who came down, is no disgrace. Being behind Ayr, who've got a bit of cash behind them as well, no disgrace. But it's maybe all piling up for Thistle.
Well, listen, I think there was real optimism around the club at the start of the season. You highlighted a real big club in there. I think everyone's been, well, a lot of people have been surprised by Livy, because I thought they might have taken the route of kind of Hamilton. They might have struggled, but David Martindale, terrific job. Ayr United with Scott Brown, you always knew they were going to do a good job this season, but Falkirk have been the surprise package. I think the disappointment from a Thistle point of view is just that points gap. You know, if you're sitting in fourth and that points gap's a wee bit narrower, then there is no big issues. It's going to be a tough one for them this afternoon, but I think the home form this season has to be a wee bit better. But they're still in there with a fight, and Fraser's right, you get in the playoffs at the end of the season, anything can happen.
Yeah, I take on board that the playoffs, you've got to make sure first and foremost you're in there if you're not going to win the league, if you're not going to come out on top. And there's a few good teams there, we've seen that. I was very impressed with you last night. Partick have got big ambitions, definitely got big ambitions. There's a few bits of rumbling going on round about Firhill about the manager, so it's important he goes there today. It'll be a difficult game, he's got to put up a good show.
The 18's manager though?
Listen, he got beat last night. He's won in 3-1 last night with 6 minutes to go, and still can't he win.
So close, 4-3.
You're joking. I didn't hear the story when I came
listen,
in.
Listen, he's entertainment value.
You
for
were 3-1 up with how many to go?
6 minutes to go.
Close, 4-3.
Yeah,
4-3.
He made a tactical
St. Johnson. St. Johnson. We went all at attack.
He phoned David Friel at home and says, how do you think I should change this to a diamond? Yes, and you go. Wow.
Incidentally, Fraser Wishart just dismissed Livy altogether from the title race. He said that he believes that Falkirk will pip Ayr. Not a mention of Davy Martindale, who's right beside them.
You fancy Livy Lions?
I'd never rule Davy Martindale out. They've hung in there all season long, and they have the same chance as Falkirk and Ayr.
I can't know what you mean.
There's that's a tight championship, isn't it? It's going to be someone. It's someone that's just going to win that championship.
The head of the PFA Scotland just said, nah.
The best goal scorer.
Not there having it, Fraser.
Nah, I'm not having it, Hugh. It's a prediction. I don't think Livy will keep up, but they might have a say. They might take points off the other two. They'll be in there.
I'm getting the Nokia out now. I'm phoning wee Davey. Tell him what you said.
The absolute cheek of Hugh taking umbrage at someone else's predictions as well. Honestly, we have officially come full circle. Right, we will leave it there. Thank you to the guys, because we're building up to three big games in the Scottish Cup at 3 o'clock. A big game coming up in the Scottish Cup at 5:30. Championship games, previews of tomorrow and Monday, all sorts coming up as usual on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a Saturday afternoon, and we'll get the show on the road next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are in the studio. We've got the top team keeping us up to speed on the Scottish Cup ties and the big game in the Championship. So let's see if these three duds can get some predictions right. Come on then, give us your Saturday acca, Hugh Keevans.
I'll keep it absolutely straightforward for you. In the Championship, home win Falkirk. In the Scottish Cup, home win St Johnstone, home win Livy, home win Dundee, home win Celtic.
You could have just said all home wins and would have been.
Nah, I like this. I like the theatre of
it. Right, I'm not doing that. Come on, Mark. I'm going for something different.
You know what?
That's boring.
I think it might be the same.
No. Right. I'm going for all home wins apart from one.
Oh, how good is Scottish football sometimes? Unbeatable for storylines.
I'm going for Falkirk.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 0. In the first minute, Scott Arfield. Well, some things, Hugh Keevans, are just written.
The dream homecoming for Scott Arfield, wearing his number 37 in memory of his pal who lost his life, Craig Gowans, and that is just a story and a half. Well done, Scott Arfield. Not such good news for Partick Thistle, because the mountain they had to climb just got steeper.
How incredible is that, Mark Wilson? You know, like,
incredible, eh?
So predictable in a way, but like the chances of that all aligning in the first minute. We've just spoken about a guy that hasn't played since Boxing Day. Does it take you a while to find your feet? All that sort of stuff.
You know what, if it wasn't against my employer, I'd be chuffed for him and the club, because it's a fitting moment for all, isn't it? An ex-player coming back after a long career, a long successful career, and then getting up and running after 1 minute. But what a dreadful start for Thistle. But exactly what you don't want going there.
You can imagine how much it's lit up Falkirk, the ground, the players.
Well, exactly, lit up. The signing would have, you know, gave them something to cheer about, because recent weeks, Hugh, it's not been great for Falkirk. Yeah. They have been flying this season, changed a few things, went off the boil, signed Tim, everything's looking on the up, and then he goes and scores. So you're right in terms of in the stadium just now, he'll be bouncing.
Who's not the home win?
Look, I expect Scott Arfield to score this afternoon, right? No doubt about that.
Did you?
Yeah, of course I did. Here's the one for you, right?
Right.
You're listening?
Uh-huh.
Roger Hanna's going to have a long day.
Right.
Cove and Livingston will go all the way. There you go.
And what happens at the end?
I'm going to go for Cove.
There. Extra time or penalties?
I think maybe penalties. There you go.
That is a long night.
Do you know, so I'm praying that happens. And let's hear if he comes on and goes, oh, game of the day.
Well, St Johnstone, St Johnstone have been slack to start, and the Ackies looking lively in the opening stages. Todorov has had a decent shot saved. So there we go. Fairy tale start that for Scott Arfield. Inside a minute, Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 0.
Kind of a slow start on the day you promised full rock and roll. They better get the amp plugged in.
It's amazing though what a positive result would do for John Rankin. Scottish Cup going through to the next round, a moneymaker for the club. The fans might just climb down off his back a wee bit, but I think that's going to be too difficult for him up there at McDermott Park.
Couple of Ackies corners inside the first minute and a half. Everyone's hanging around in comparison to Scott Arfield and Falkirk, that got up and running very, very quickly. Partick Thistle But as a wise philosopher once said,
if you're going to lose a goal, lose it early.
Brilliant, honestly. I'm amazed it hasn't caught on more in the wider football
landscape. I bet your managers do say that. Look, everything nice and tight, but if we're going to lose a goal, lose it early, we'll get back in the game.
I mean, literally, this might not surprise you, but literally his first touch. So not a touch to set it up, or not a bit to lay off to someone first. Just
a run into the ball. I can picture it, I can see it just now.
You love Arfield.
I remember he's always been brilliant. I've never met him. No one of the ones. Never met
Scott. We should arrange that, see, for his birthday. You know, the video messages you get.
I'm home for a lot better than that for my birthday, let me just say. Ball down the right hand side or left, whatever one Fraser favours. Ball in, Arfield making that late run, side foot goal. There you go. That's how you describe that one. Was that a header?
I don't know. almost an Aki's goal. Ricky Lamy's header, Todorov. Then close to connecting. So this rock and roll from St Johnston is taking a bit to get going. Speaking of which, Hugh, let's give maximum time on this. Let's set it all up.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Simple as can be. Six Scotland internationals have played in the MLS since 2021. Name them. Six Scotland internationals have played in the MLS since 2021. Who are they?
You, Mr. Worldwide. Is that USA themed for Super Bowl weekend?
Well, Taylor Swift will be there, you know.
Chiefs are a certainty, aren't they?
Is her husband in the final again? In the Super Bowl again?
He's not the husband, is he?
He's just married. Just a boyfriend.
Aye. It's a put together relationship.
Do you watch
anyway,
it?
Isn't it?
Do you watch it?
The Super Bowl? No.
No.
I hate it.
This is great.
I know one person that will be
Roger Hannah will be pouring everybody
to tears. Man or something.
No, I don't think his team are in it.
Get on the Chiefs.
Who's in it?
The Chiefs.
Chiefs and
who?
The Chiefs and Eagles.
Roger Hannah will be boring everyone around him at Livingston to tears with all this stuff.
I must admit, it's one of the
How
most.
How much do you get for a try?
A try? I don't know. I don't even know. What do you do?
Do you know what? We'll get. Did you not do this last year, actually? That's a fast year. Good to see we're very repetitive in this stuff we're talking about. We'll get our 90 second Roger Hanna explainer at half time.
Yeah,
everything we need to know.
What you do with a try?
All in a winner. Whether it's called a try or not. Who's involved? Who's the favourites? What are the big stories? What
Roger.
Taylor Swift's up to?
Why did they wear helmets and our rugby players don't?
Our rugby players now, is
it? Aye, I love a bit of rugby.
Roger Hanna can go and see an NFL game because the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to play
where
against unnamed opposition at Croke Park in Dublin.
I saw that, Hugh. See if you think Roger Hanna hasn't already been when they come to London. I think you'd be mistaken.
He's proper, isn't he?
Listen, have a look at even the way he dresses. You can tell he's in.
Does he wear the big straw?
The full family get the big and the popcorn and the big. Oh, do you want Diet Pepsi? No, I'll just go with the egg. You know.
He's telling us the Miami Dolphins are playing at the Bernabeu next season.
Oh, wow. Dan Marino's still playing for them.
I think he's
past his best. Still managing the mascot.
The best job in that
is Einhorn.
They've got a guy who just runs over and kicks it.
Yeah.
What a job that is. See if you're a good kicker of the ball.
Yes.
Gavin Hastings.
You're set for life, aren't you?
We had Duncan Weir, the Glasgow Warriors, Scotland international rugby player, in here a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? We had a partnership with the Glasgow Warriors, and he was telling us he had a sort of conversation a few years ago about just going over and.
Just kicking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a job. That's your ideal job. If you could have kicked it in a straight line.
No, he couldn't kick it far.
I would need to be right in
near the penalty area.
Aye, near the goals.
I think tomorrow night could be the night for you, because you're a new man now. You know, you're abstaining from alcohol.
Yeah, I'm out tonight for the first time. That's my social.
You know, you're
going to Elvis.
So I think tomorrow night you should stay up, watch the full thing, document it all, give us your thoughts on Tuesday.
See, if I stayed up tomorrow night to watch the Super Bowl, I would have a good word with myself in the mirror on Monday morning.
You've watched worse late tonight.
Yeah, but it's entertainment. The Super Bowl certainly isn't entertainment for me.
Well, you can all really look forward to Roger Hanna's explainer that will come along before the end of the show, I am sure. But your teaser is up and running. It is USA themed for Super Bowl weekend. Six Scotland internationals have played in the MLS since 2021. Name them. You, Mr. Keevans, yeah, were bragging last night that you finally got a functioning TV in the man cave.
Yeah.
This could be your year for the Super Bowl.
What a night I had last night, watching Air United Hibs and then turning over to watch Man United. And let me tell you, I go back to my prediction about Rangers in the Europa League final. Man United, absolutely hopeless. Tottenham Hotspur, awful, woeful. And you're laughing at me for saying that Rangers don't get to the
final. What do you think, Man Cave, Super Bowl tomorrow? It could be your...
So it takes an awful long time, though.
It does take an awful long time. That, I did the same. So watched the end of Air Hibs, flipped over quickly, and, you know, we've had yet another week where people want to debate VAR and maybe get rid of it. And by the way, loads of that is valid. Then you see a moment like last night and you think, we can't allow that to kick back in. How offside is Harry Maguire exactly?
Oh, big, I told you, lose a goal.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 1, and it's a Scott Arfield own goal. It's actually Logan Chalmers for Thistle. Good game there at the Falkirk Stadium. The fairy tale start from Falkirk and Scott Arfield, but the party poopers, Partick Thistle, have had their say. So Logan Chalmers scores, 10 minutes gone, Falkirk 1, Thistle 1.
Well, there goes my theory about the goal having lit up the stadium. Nope, the fire's just gone out. Yep. Thistle have equalised.
Good response for Mark's club, Partick. They needed that. Get back in the game as quickly as you possibly can. So I could. Do you know what? Now I know why the old man Fraser Wisher picked Falkirk and Partick.
We need to find out if this truth. Oh, and that.
Listen to
the old rotation.
Oh, I think it will be.
Do you?
I think Andrew McLean seems like a fair-minded man. He tends to fill in the diary, so he'll just give them a wee shot at picking their games.
I would love that job. Pick. I know where I'd be sending them. They'll be all over the country.
Nobody's that far.
Dingwall shift. That must be good when that comes up.
Your Dingwall this week.
I think they all fight for Dingwall in the light months.
Yeah. You don't want to be up there, do you, in the dark, in the snow?
But anyway, it's a good teaser that. Get your guesses in at Clyde SSB. It is a race, so we need one tweet with all six names on it, and you need to do it quicker than everyone else. What's really tricky about this one is not so much remembering the names, the time frames, because it's since 2021. So I can see a lot of names coming in that are just missing out there. Let's see who can get all six right.
I think we've got them already.
Well, I'll be the...
Yeah, take them off.
The judge and jury on that, Hugh, what do you think?
Yeah, North, we've got one wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, one wrong, right, okay. Oh, that one is the wrong one.
What did you make of Air Hibs last night?
You know, as I said, Rocky Bashiri, as you know, I think bang average is doing him a real favour. But he scores in the 3-3 game against Aberdeen, and that turns a corner for Hibs. He scores in the 3-3 game with Rangers, and that gets Hibs a point at Easter Road. And he scores last night right at the end of the game to prevent extra time, put Hibs in the last eight, and in a week where they record losses of over £7 million, to be in the last eight is at least a financial turn for them as well.
How does that work, Hugh? How do you get yourself losing £7 million?
Do you know what? They actually owned up to it. Bad players were bought, bad managers were employed, and they had to pay off Nick Montgomery and Lee Johnson before him, and bad investments were made. They lost £1 million in a company that went bust. So at every level of the club's operation, they have slipped up, and they're £7 million down as a consequence.
Did someone going to cover that? No.
No?
No.
The only thing that will cover that is
not
hiring
down south. Have you seen
the Black Knights?
Yeah, but I mean, they're not going to cover your £7 million losses just like that, are they?
Did your old team, Gordon, they actually had a go after, not that they didn't have a go, but you know, they came close after falling behind. I thought maybe they had done enough to snatch an equaliser, a few decent saves from Jordan Smith and the Hibs goal.
Yeah, they threw everything at it. They had to, Gordon, because of the timing of Hibs' goal. I've got to give Hibs credit. I thought it was a dour first half. See, for a cup tie, 7,000 plus inside Somerset, the atmosphere would have been great. I thought it would have been a little bit more livelier, if I'm honest. But I thought Hibs' second half, you know, there were spells where you're just thinking, the goal's going to come. And I think Scott Brown will be really disappointed the manner in which it came. You know, the long throw in, it was too easy, and they get the goal that puts them into the next round. Ayr did throw a little bit at them. But looking at the Championship, it's the first time I've really sat down and watched Ayr. They've got good players, they're well organised. You know something? I think they'll be the biggest danger from Falkirk and Livingston.
The only thing about last night, I didn't catch all the game, just a wee bit at the end, and I saw the goal, but I can't claim this. Somebody on Twitter tweeted, all that money invested in a new stand at Ayr, and they've now put in the TV gantry for a camera to sit in an elevated position. I watched the game Ayr against Partick Thistle the other week. I was thinking, this camera's really
it's
low.
Very close and low, aye, isn't it?
But I expected more last night.
But to be fair, the camera then on that side, it shows you the new stand.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
if the camera's in the new
point.
Stand, then
that
you can see
point.
It. But no,
yeah.
I don't think you're wrong. I had the same thought as well. But no, it was, I suppose, entertaining in that kind of mad cup tie type way. And Hibs going through. So they are the first name in the hat, so to speak. Bonnyrigg Rovers have scored against Peterhead. Mark Ferry on 14 minutes, so there are games down the divisions. Similarly, Stenhouse Muir going well at the top of League One. They're one up at home to Queen of the South, who've got a dreadful away record, so that would make sense. Blair Alston with the goal there. No, I thought it was good. I thought I enjoyed it last night. I know, yeah. Just that kind of, like I said, I stay away from the cliche about old fashioned cup tie, but it just felt that sort of.
Do you know something? Usually I like to brag, but I'm not going to do that. But I've got to say, the atmosphere at Somerset, under the floodlights, and I packed out. Well, there were 7 plus in there, which was very, very busy indeed. Great support come down from Hibs as well. It's a great night, Gordon. I just thought the first half, I'd like to see a wee bit more livelier from Ayr, you know. Yeah. Maybe sometimes try to put a lot of pressure on Hibs. I thought it was a sort of even game. Then the second half, I thought Hibs really stamped their authority, and it wasn't until the late rally from Ayr, but it was too late. The game had gone by that time.
How's Rocky Bashiri's goal scoring record this season? He hadn't scored before. Yeah. He gets that goal at the end of the Aberdeen game, which sends both teams in completely different directions.
Yep.
He then gets the late goal in the draw against Rangers.
Yep.
Now the winner in a cup tie.
I know, and he's a terrible player, I think, but you cannot argue. You cannot argue with that kind of success rate. So, you know, Hibs are there. They're in the last eight. They're in the draw Monday night. And I'm looking, Dundee, 15 minutes in, still 0-0. St Johnston, 15 minutes in. Don't tell me.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal Dundee. Dundee 1, Airdrie 0. And it was going to be, wasn't it, Lyle Cameron? I suppose,
yeah.
It looks like he got the final touch anyway, but we can try and confirm that. A corner came in, he was certainly in the mix. We think he got the final touch. And Dundee 1, Airdrie 0. You just need that. I see it being given to Clark Robertson as well. It's not like they look particularly alike, but either way, Clark Robertson, Lyle Cameron, Dundee are in front. You need that in this type of environment, don't you, to settle things.
I said that Cameron would have to be temperamentally strong, and if it is his goal, that's a great start for him. The Dundee fans don't care who put it in, as long as somebody did, because it would have been unthinkable, and it will be unthinkable for the remainder of the afternoon for Tony Docherty not to win that game. On the back of 6-0 against Hearts, 6-0 against Celtic, he must, absolutely must, win this match.
I think for Lyle Cameron, I think the opposite. I think it'd be a great situation to be in pre-contract, and I think you'd play more relaxed. I don't think you would take your foot off the gas.
I think so.
More
I think relaxed. Would you not feel like you were constantly being judged? Almost like you're trying to impress two managers at once.
No, because you've done that. That's the hard bit is getting Rangers to come and sign you.
Yeah.
And you've now signed. So that's sorted. The bigger worry is when you're a player and you're at this stage and you're out of contract in May and you go into every game desperate to perform because everything's on the line, and you get handed a contract at one of the biggest clubs in Scotland. Fine, just go and relax. You think you're the man, you're the biggest player at the club. I think you play better. The only difference, I think, was Gary Caldwell. Remember Gary Caldwell signed a pre-contract for Celtic? He got real stick, and that was pressure. The Hibs fan didn't take kindly to that, and he says it was incredibly difficult to play at Easter Road through that spell, and he had to be mentally strong. But I think it's different for Cameron.
I wouldn't like to have been in that situation in my playing career, signing a pre-contract in January, unless it was massive to Man City or a Liverpool or something where you would really just, you know, have a go at the boys in the dressing room about how much they were earning.
It just feels like unnecessary scrutiny to me, but that Mark's obviously got a stronger mentality.
In which sense?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's saying he would kind of enjoy it. It just feels like unnecessary.
I do feel it's a little bit of pressure on the lad.
Because as an example, there will be loads of times where a move is sewn up before the summer, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
So then, you know, whereas these ones sometimes get publicised.
But I think I was listening to Fraser talk about the boy, and I've heard some real good things about him as a professional and the way he goes about his business. I think the majority of people up at Dens Park will know that and know that he's out there giving his all for Dundee. If you're Dundee and you're a supporter, as much as it's disappointing losing your best players, we've seen that with McCown going to Celtic as well, you've got to know that if they're that good, they're going to move on. It's as simple and straightforward as that. So I think the boy will be able to handle it. I don't like the situation, but I think he's strong enough to go and say, right, okay, I'll give my best to Dundee, and if he gets that goal today, it's great for him. And I'm sure he'll put in plenty of performances because he wants to go to Rangers in a good bit of form, looking sharp, looking for a new season, looking for pre-season and press, because that's going to be a difficult midfield to get in. Rangers just now, Raskin and Diamandé are playing really, really well. I know Roger was saying about Barn, he thinks he's better than Barn. They'll probably bring in more players. You've got guys like Tom Lawrence coming back for fitness. Sterling can play in there. So there's a lot of good competition. So he want to finish the season high.
It would be quite a mixed day if Hamilton Accies could pull off a shock and knock St Johnstone out, because it's a day that started with a banner in the away end, 3 years of failure ranking out, accompanied by a song from the Hamilton Accies advising John Rankin where to go.
I'll get him promoted last year.
The biggest thing I could do.
That's some thanks for the fans, because I remember the scenes at Inverness Cali. I remember watching the game, the fans running on the pitch.
I guess they would have.
They've obviously forgot about
is it because they were so far behind Falkirk?
The biggest.
Look where Falkirk are now.
I know, but the fans were on them last season.
The biggest favour I could do, John, would be to say, I'm surprised Hamilton Accies haven't scored.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just surprised there's enough Hamilton Accies fans up there to hold up the banner. look, fans are, you know what, like that. If you're not in a good bit of form, they come after you. There's no doubt. Every manager experiences this. It's not nice, let me tell you now, as much as we can laugh and joke in the studio about it, but Jono, that hurts you. As much as you as a manager come out and go, oh, I don't read the papers, I don't take notice here, I'm only concentrating the team, they can blame me if they want. It's not a nice situation.
Don't need to read the paper. Look up.
I've been in those shoes. I've walked that walk.
Dazzler. See, the thing is, social media wasn't about when you were manager. Imagine it was.
Yeah.
You would have a meltdown.
I would have had a meltdown.
You would have. The negative comments would have got to you. You would have been on the Botox much earlier.
Elon Musk would have paid for you to go on.
I am so glad that social media wasn't about when I was playing.
To link it to the other Lanarkshire club, you know, Stuart Kettlewell obviously felt that certain things were making it hard for his family to attend games, and it had a knock-on effect. And I mean, I don't know John Rankin's family situation or whatever, but you know, if you're sitting there and hearing that stuff, it must not be nice. And I'm not saying it's unique, and some people do just grin and bear it and say that's the way it is. But he's about 40 yards away from the banner, apparently.
John Rankin is
having played with John and been a friend of him a long time. He's one of the most, you know, toughest mentally I've came across in my career. So I don't think it'll really affect him in the same sense as it maybe did Stuart Kettlewell, but still, Daz is right. It's you still rather it wasn't
Mark,
there.
Mark,
and there was a banner saying that you were great.
Everybody wants loved. Everybody wants loved. Let's not be kidded here. And I feel
you're loved. You are loved.
I'm very blessed. I am loved by a lot of people out there. But there's one or two having a go at me just now, you know what I mean? And it's all about my part. Do you know something? I was with my granddaughter the other day there, and I parked in a child's play. I was getting dogs abuse.
By who?
Well, there's some, I don't even want to describe this. And do you know something? I'm explaining, I've got my granddaughter and her child seat in the back.
Did he give a go? Because you parked in the parent and child space. And are you sure your granddaughter was there?
And thought.
And she's what?
So she wasn't there.
She wasn't there. Yeah.
That's awful. No, honestly, there's a goal I need to tell you about. I'm so with that person. See people that park in parent child spaces. Scum. Honestly. Boil
my granddaughter.
Agree. Boil my granddaughter. That's I wish I hadn't bought that.
It's a big goal. Get on
to Slashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Huge goal. Scott Arfield's party is in ruins. Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 2. And it's Brian Graham, the skipper, the top goal scorer. He has come up with the goods. Missed a penalty recently, didn't he? In one of the home games, which didn't go down well. But it's Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 2.
He was devastated about missing the penalty last week. He described that. He was gutted. But he is the man that grabs the goals for them. And what a turnaround that is.
You're not mocking my statement now, are you?
No.
None of you are mocking my statement now.
What was your statement?
If you're going to lose a goal, lose it early. 2-1 now.
Brilliant. Great character for Thistle.
Yeah, terrific. Because, you know, it really reflects poorly on Falkirk. You get the noses in front, scored by Arfield, your big signing of the window, and it's gone the opposite direction.
Especially because in the wider picture there is a Falkirk wobble, if that's the right word, ongoing, and people wondered if the type of signings, you know, would correct that wobble.
The big thing for Falkirk was they've got, I think, three home games in a row, haven't they? They had one last week against Livingston, today against Thistle, and I think next week. So home results are important for them.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Still work to do to find a cup shock, because Livingston have taken the lead at home to Cove. It was a free kick on the left. It was bundled in. Wasn't necessarily the prettiest. I don't think Davy Martindale will care, because Livy are in front. Ryan McGowan, we think, with the final touch perhaps. So there we go, 25 minutes on the clock, and Livy have the lead. Livy of the Championship, Cove of League One.
Last 8 draw, Celtic v Livy. Lovely jubbly.
I'm telling you, if Davy Martindale gets St Johnston at whatever it's called, they'll probably win at the home of the Setfair Arena.
I
think you'll be delighted. The chance
what is
to go and get
called?
The home of the Setfair Arena.
So what is
Setfair?
Home of the Setfair Arena.
Setfair, a company.
Sounds like a taxi company to me. I don't know.
It's a taxi company.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Setfair, the home of the Setfair.
I think that sounds like a proper.
I like the macaroni better.
I'm going to get Davy Martindale to phone Super Scoreboard next week when I'm on, and back me up.
I think you'll be waiting. As I say, I take your logic. I think if you're a tiny team, you want the big payday, Livy could seriously make inroads into this cup, and then you get your payday anyway. You get the best of both worlds. I'll tell you what, clips just appeared in front of me, and I just mention it, A, because he did used to play here, and B, quite dramatic. Remember Kyle Bartley?
I've seen it.
You seen it?
Yeah.
It was on Wednesday, sorry, wasn't it? All right, it's just the clips just
cuffed the referee
off.
Yeah.
It was today. It was earlier on, 99th minute.
Oh, yes. Right, my head's all over the place here. So it is. Do you know what it is? It's because it's against Sheffield Wednesday. I thought it said Wednesday. But he hits the ref, basically. Yeah.
By the way,
hits the ref.
And then he's pleading his innocence.
He's got
the bandage head.
He sort of, yeah, he kind of like puts a forearm like kind of in the face of the ref.
It's absolutely deliberate.
I hadn't seen it.
Clear as can be.
I hadn't seen it earlier. That's remarkable. You would have played against him, Mark.
I did many times in that season. Yeah.
Oh, was that that same season?
I think so, yeah.
Do you know what we discovered this week, actually? That two of the most prominent rivals in your career share a birthday.
Who's that?
Sasa Papach.
Right.
And Daniel Kuzan.
put himself.
The guy that you bashed in the face and the guy that ragdolled you.
Well, there and you to are. Be fair, they share you 6 months each.
Vice versa. Oh no,
Papage
I saw
gets you for the first 6 months.
Cousin certainly got me back. Didn't
I'm sure they both. It was posted on the same day.
Ah, they right. Okay.
What are the chances?
Well, mixed emotions of both of them.
Yeah. Send out a couple of cards just on the.
I did. We always like to keep in touch. It's a lovely wee triangle.
Oh.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee now 2-0 up against Airdrie. No shock there. And we do think this one is definitely Lyle Cameron. So all this talk about the pressure and the scrutiny.
Easy.
He's picked up where he left off before that injury during the week. Dundee 2 Airdrie 0. Lyle Cameron 25 minutes gone.
I said that because you imagine how much on a high he is. And what do we all like to be when we go to our work on a high, things going well for you? So he would have approached that game the day feeling on top of it.
Can I tempt you to, even when he goes to Ibrox and stuff, you don't think there's an extra pressure there that he could be doing without?
What
happens if Dundee draw Rangers in the cup, for example?
Go to penalty kicks.
And, Rangers need the Scottish Cup to avoid being trophy-less. And he's playing against them.
And he's through on goal. 6 yards out, Jack Butland's coming out to narrow the angle. Oh, the pressure.
I might be wrong
and
with
he's shouting to Jack, I'm going to the right.
I watched remember the penalty shout Dundee United against Celtic Zaluska and Boric opposite time. No, Willow Flood, I'm sure, missed the penalty. And then he joined Celtic. I'm sure.
Charlie Nicholas in the final. In fact, 35 years ago, Charlie knew he was going back to Celtic. Aberdeen Celtic went to penalties and Charlie stepped up and scored his penalty, no problem.
Give us the question, Hugh, and we'll do some wrong answers.
6 Scotland internationals have played in the MLS since 2021. Name them.
Okay, since 2021 is what's doing some of you out here because it's quite recent. So let me see if we can do some wrong ones. Kian Stark would like to throw in Sam Nicholson.
Throw him back out.
Throw him out. What are the other common wrong ones? David Kirwan has gone for Chris Cadden.
No.
He was there 2020, not 2021. So you have to just think a bit more recently. Greg Gardens wants to go. Again, it's the time. Definitely done him here. Sean Maloney.
No.
Kenny Miller.
No.
No, more recently than those. Okay. Sam Nicholson, incidentally, has not got any Scotland caps. So there we go. I'm still honestly, my head's gone. Forget the football. The fact that you park in parent child spaces without a child in your car. That's
disgusting.
That's the lowest of the low. I hate that.
Well,
did you have a proper argument with the fella?
No, he just recognised that I was too strong for him.
he's absolutely in the right.
No, he's not. Because you didn't let me
that
finish my story.
Head into a spin.
I was going in to pick up my granddaughter in Asda. Yes, I was.
Pick her up in Asda?
She was doing a shift.
Stacking the shelves.
She had a wee shift. She had a wee day
she's
shift.
She's 6.
Yeah, well, she's learning quickly. She can't reach the top shelf. I take that on board, but she's packing everything underneath.
He just lies into the end.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the worst moment of road rage I've had in a long
time,
like
road
recently
rage.
And I'm not great for it. I think I use all my patience up in here dealing with you two, right? And then sometimes gets the better of me. But I felt, even though it was my mistake, so I was in the West End, I was hungry, I was searching somewhere for my lunch, you know, the wee kind of side streets and all that. And I turned, and you know, as soon as I did, I went, oh, I'm in a one-way street the wrong way here. So it is entirely my mistake. I have no problem admitting that. Not a problem whatsoever. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this? There's cars parked on both sides. Oh, what a nightmare. What an idiot. Should have been concentrating more. So there's a cyclist coming towards me. Mm. So I'm obviously slowing down. I'm totally in the wrong. I'm flashing the lights at him. I hold my hands up and say, sorry, I'm giving it sorry, I'm sorry. And he's shouting, one way. And I'm going, I know, I'm flashing the light, hands up, I'm sorry, I'm feeling so stupid. See, when he got level with my car, he punched my wing mirror.
Yes.
Like, drew his arm right back as far as he could and threw as hard as he could, punched my wing mirror. I have not had head loss like that in easily 20 years. I can't even describe how I wanted to react to this. But he's on a bike, he's heading the other way. So as soon as he did it, he's gone. I'm stuck in a one-way street facing the wrong way. Honestly.
That is out of order.
Out of order, is that?
No, he's not. Cyclist is in the right,
especially because I was so apologetic about the full thing.
Those cyclists just don't care, do they? But that's bad. Did you not do a scan of the block? Cruising round.
I spent about an hour looking for him. Not sure what I'd have done right now. Exactly. Anyway.
I know, imagine you caught him.
And he was a big
guy. He was an absolute tank.
No, he wasn't, though. That was the thing that annoyed me. And he didn't have a helmet on, I'll tell you that. Safety first. Penalty Falkirk. What a game we've got. Fraser Wisher is right. First game back of the day.
Yeah.
Keelan Adams filled by the goal scorer Logan Chalmers. Brad Spencer is going to take.
Good player, Spencer.
He is a good player.
Very good player.
Son of
John Spencer.
I can't believe I didn't know that until just earlier this season.
You told me 2 months ago. I told him and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, Brad Spencer to take. Maybe going to pull his level. Saved by David Mitchell.
Goal flashes. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Scored on the rebound. Tate is there to sweep the ball home. And there's nothing worse when you're the goalie. You've done your bit. Someone scores on the rebound. Tough school being a goalie. But there we are. 2-2. Good game. Falkirk 2, Partick Thistle 2.
Well, they've gone full rock and roll. We're still waiting for Simo Vallecari to come up to the microphone. Nil, nil, nil. When he promised that Johnston would be rock and roll.
Have you ever seen any sort of rock and roll at McDermott Park? Ever? Even when they won the cup?
Stays cool, couldn't have got there.
When Celtic played there and scored six.
You're right, that's a good call, Hugh. But
or I remember Breaking going there one day.
That was rock and roll.
Oh, that was rock and roll.
Aye, it was a sore one.
Again, some outlets appearing to give this goal to Gary Oliver, but nevertheless, Falkirk are level. Falkirk 2, Partick Thistle 2. David Rayburn tweeted to say, talking about pre-contracts, remember Jordan Jones signed a pre-contract with Rangers.
I was going to say that.
Played for Kilmarnock against Rangers and scored. It's called being professional. That's right. I think I was there actually working.
Midweek game, yeah.
I do remember that. That was a good story, that one, when it was developing. We've got a good story developing at the Falkirk Stadium as well. 2-2. I think the chances of a shock not looking good anywhere, really, because Dundee are 2-0 up. Lyle Cameron has scored against Airdrie, and even Livy, there is a division between them and Cove. They are in front at the home of the Setfair Arena. Still nothing, though. St Johnstone, Hamilton. St Johnstone, obviously the favourites there. The Accies fans have got a banner. They want the manager to leave. They're letting him know in no uncertain terms how they feel about him. But yet it is still goalless. What a weird day that would be if they do win. Wouldn't it?
They would just rub out the goal. Stay.
They just
fold the banner up and jump up and down cheer.
I know, but they would take a lot away from it, I think, if you're John Rankin.
Would you go over and applaud them?
No.
You would feel as a good old...
I would go over and give what you were going to give to the cyclist. That's what I would do.
Wonder if he's listening, the cyclist, I have to say.
Oh.
Shows me an apology. He scratched my wing mirror.
What kind of, you know, person do you need to be that angry anyway, or something like that?
Look at him, he was angry.
No, but being angry at somebody coming up a one way, would you be angry enough to punch
the car? See if I was like flying up, he's got every right, but I was like, I'm stopped, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. And Brian Graham sent off. Oof. Two yellow cards in quick succession, knowing him as we do. I wonder how he's taking this news.
Not well.
As he heads down the tunnel.
No.
Because Thistle had fallen behind, had taken the lead. They've now been levelled up by Falkirk, and he's been sent off.
Wow, what a remarkable game. I mean,
it's not even half time.
Brian will be obviously furious at himself for putting himself in that situation. Unless he feels hard done by. But
he's giving a mouthful to the assistant ref on the way off, so I'm guessing he does feel hard done by. Chris Doolan's now been booked as well. You don't teach any discipline in that place.
Team full of cyclists.
The under 18s are very disciplined.
Yeah,
they just lose
goals for fun.
They take late collapses on the chin. Don't even bat an eyelid.
It seems to me I couldn't again be angry with them.
Some game that, Hugh. Got a bit of everything.
Well, I mean, they're obviously polite boys. Didn't want to stand in the way of the opposition. You know, gave them 3 goals in 6 minutes.
This is a great game, this. Because even though you throw the Scott Arfield factor in, returning, scoring with his first touch, the symbolic number on his back. Fraser Wishart was right when he said game of the day, so we'll keep an eye on that to see what else it could have in store. We're about 5 minutes away.
By the way, I think this is the second time Thistle have been there to Falkirk and went down to 10 men. I'm sure earlier on the season as well they lost a man at Falkirk. I think who it was.
We'll check that for you. Don't you worry. In fact, that's a lie. We're not 5 minutes away from half time. We're a bit further out than that.
Eight. Still waiting at St Johnston.
Yeah, it's a funny one that, eh? You would think that everything that's going on with Hamilton Accies manager getting a little bit of criticism up there, that after the confidence of the last three wins, Motherwell twice, St Mirren last week away from home, you would think they would have been right out in the front foot, having a goal, getting that early lead, getting themselves into a comfortable position, but so far nothing.
Yeah, so that Thistle incident, it was for the penalty. Brian Graham wasn't happy with the penalty, had words with the ref, then he fouled Luke Graham a minute later, and off you go. Do you know what I was thinking?
So descent as well.
The night that Willie Collum came on this show, Brian was in. I wonder if he kept his number, but he's phoning him already. We're sitting in the dressing room trying to dial a number.
They take
the
referee. Descent, that's. Aye.
He's giving the referee a mouthful, and the referee's thought, is that right? Next tackle, boom, off you go.
There must be a bit of that as well, when you think
if
like
it's
that.
So close, if the two incidents are so close, human beings being what they are, he's thought, oh really, first chance I get.
Yeah,
here
it started off such a good, he's already scored a goal, he's a big player for them, influential player. That's a big blow for them, especially
that's an even bigger blow,
man.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Wow, what a day at the Falkirk Stadium. Falkirk 3, Partick Thistle 2, and Scott Arfield has a double on his return to his boyhood club, where he was there as an academy player, made his name, moved on, did the lot, came back. He's now got a double before half time, and it's Falkirk 3, Partick Thistle 2, Thistle down to 10 men. What an afternoon Fraser Wishart has.
And that's why he's head of PFA Scotland, because he had his pick and he thought, I'll go to Falkirk. And shrewd judge he is.
Brilliant for him. Absolutely. Because people would look at that, right? As much as he's had a good career, good professional, some people would look and think, he's past his best. What's he got to bring? He's bringing experience, he's bringing goals, everything about him. What a start.
Yeah, good start for Arfield. In that previous fixture, I was saying it was Stanley at red carded in the first 25 minutes the last time Thistle were there. Brian Graham this time in what, 35 minutes or something, and they're really up against it, against a good Falkirk side.
Alex out there on Twitter sent me a message.
I'm the right man.
He gambled responsibly, as we all should, on Scott Arfield, first goal scorer in that game, and it came in within 40 seconds.
How's your luck? Yeah, that's good, isn't it? 1 minute.
Just get yourself a lottery ticket.
Get him on a hat trick now.
Do you know what I should have done, actually? This, I'm not thinking quickly enough. We should have taken my random anecdote from my personal life and turned it into a segment on the show called Have You Ever Had Road Rage with Anyone Famous in Scottish Football? Because Kevin Monaghan tweeted in to say, on the topic of road rage, I once had a touch of road rage during the school run, only to realise it was Jim Goodwin in the other car. Head went straight down, carried on driving.
You don't want to rub Jim up the wrong way in those situations. I don't think I suffer from road rage. Not at all.
I don't either.
What's the point?
I don't, I've got to say.
There we go. If you can link that to Scottish football like Kevin has, we'll take it on the show. That sounds fair, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At Clyde.
Somebody had it with me last week, just at the Royal Infirmary where the motorway merges, and of course you have to come up the inside lanes and then you merge in. And this fella in the white van, just, you know, one of them, he's not letting you in.
Oh, pathetic.
He wasn't letting me in. So
Grow up.
So I just turned the wheel right, just whacked right in. He had no choice.
And that doesn't sound like a great idea either.
No, but I get in. So he learned his lesson. He then went in the inside lane and started rolling down his window and peeping the horn. He was fuming.
Did he recognise you?
I don't know. I just smiled and waved at him. It made him even angrier. It was brilliant.
I hope he's out there. I hope he's waiting in that car park.
Oh yeah. I'd be the cyclist. I'd be in for a great night. I would just park my, bum down the seat and just sit and watch it. It'd be great.
Have you ever had road rage involving a Scottish football personality? That's your question for the second half. Don't say we're not creative on this show. At Clyde SSB. What have we got here? A Mackenzie Kirk header, 6 yards out, should really score, quite tame. And if the Ackies can get that through to half time, Hugh, they'll get a bit of belief that they can take it the full way.
Yeah, Simo Vallecari so far guilty of breach of promise, promising full rock and roll, and it's full on rubbish.
Do you like that statement, or do you think it's a bit sometimes foolish?
You remember when Klopp came to Liverpool and he said he was going to play heavy metal football and all of that stuff, and he was as good as his word.
Yeah, but Klopp was dealing with different players from what St John's.
He had a nightmare at the start though, did he not, Klopp, when he came?
Well, I'll was take a nightmare at the start, followed by the Champions League.
That. Yeah, it's not too bad, is it?
Speaking of road raid, right, with a personality, and I don't get much. Oh. With you the other day.
Me?
His dad has got the old hybrid car, hasn't he? And we've got electric charging points here. And
it's
Thursday night, Gordon. Thursday night, I'm down to the bare bones.
He takes the charger.
Bare bones. No, I text him and say, can you leave that first charging spot for me? I need it. No reply. So I phone him. I can see he's in the building. He's in the first charging spot. I phone him again. Ignored.
It does annoy me that, because it just shows...
Doesn't it annoy me,
how
boys?
Tight this man is, because charging that gets him about 8 extra miles.
I was fuming. That's the closest I've been.
It's... No chance.
Yeah, it does. 100%. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Not a chance of a shock between Dundee and Airdrie. How dare we have even asked the question? It's on course for a repeat of the tie when they met in the League Cup earlier this season. Dundee 3, Airdrie 0. Adewumi on 40 minutes, home and hosed before the break, you suspect, Hugh.
I know it won't undo any damage. However, if Tony Docherty could get a 6-0 win after two 6-0 defeats, that would be nice for him, and he's halfway there now, 3 up.
Cruising.
Yeah, that's what you need when you're the Premiership team. You're a favourite at home against a Championship side. You've got to go out there. You've got to stamp your authority. And yes, it's a comfortable afternoon for Tony Dock and Dundee.
Let's round this off, Hugh, while we can. The first half teaser with the
ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online. The six Scotland internationals who have played in the MLS since 2021 are Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Gold, Lewis Morgan, Stuart Findlay, Johnny Russell, and Danny Wilson.
Well done if you got them all. Which one did you miss, Stuart Findlay?
Stuart Findlay. Get six, but didn't get Stuart Findlay. How's that work?
We got Morgan.
Yeah, Armstrong.
Wilson. Russell, Armstrong, Gold, and Gary Mackay-Stephen.
Mackay-Stephen was wrong.
That was the one.
On the time frame. Well done if you got them all right. Congratulations to David T.R. in third place, the old bronze medal. Ryan G. second place. And I think this tweeter was on the podium last week as well, Celtic FC Trivia. The winner of the first half teaser, well done to you. Big game in League One, Arbroath 2, Inverness Cali Thistle 0. Andy Winter's penalty just before the break. Did I read during the week? I suppose I was looking at the tables. Inverness would have been top if it wasn't for that points deduction.
Done incredible. Well, by the way, who's the manager?
Scott Kelleher, isn't it?
Is it?
The name?
Because that kind of went under the radar. Duncan Ferguson left. They were in a bit of trouble. And then nothing was really said, or nobody was really appointed. And all of a sudden they're flying.
Speaking of which, your lot, Motherwell. What's happening?
It's a very good question.
Going without a manager. We'll get too many players.
Right.
Yeah, I think they've clearly benefited from the fact that there wasn't a game this weekend.
Yeah.
It just gives you that little bit more of a cushion. But I think you'd be looking in the next couple of days.
Oh yeah.
For some sort of announcement. Half time, Roger Hanna, Livy Cove, take it away.
Yeah, and Livy have a little cushion as well. Gordon Livingston 1, Cove Rangers 0 at a break. A deserved lead for David Martindale's side. They started very brightly. Stevie May flashed a shot wide of the post, but they weren't doing enough to test the Cove keeper, Nick Suman. Until that is, they took the lead in 25 minutes. A great break down the left-hand side by Robbie Fraser. He was chopped down just to the left-hand side of the penalty area, just about the byline. Rhys McAleer took the free kick. He fizzed it into the near post, into a cluster of bodies, and there was big Ryan McGowan up from the back to knock it past Suman for the opening goal. That finally woke up League One promotion chasing Cove. Jerome Pryor on the Livy goal had to make a good save from Finlay Marshall, and then when Mitch Meganson went down the left, he crossed to the back post and Fraser got back well to head clear as Marshall threatened again. It was in a quick short corner move by Cove, it ended up at the feet of Fraser Fivey, the skipper. His weak shot easily held by Pryor, and then the goalkeeper called into action just at the end of the first half to deny Meganson with a long range speculative shot. Cove coming into the game as his first half went on. We need to do more in the second though. The break at Livy, Livingston 1 Cove Rangers 0.
Yeah, Livy on course to go through to the next round. Game of the day, called it, and my goodness, the man has delivered. Fraser Wishart at the Falkirk Stadium.
Yes, delivered even more than I thought beforehand, Gordon. What a first half. It's been everything. Five goals, missed penalty, a red card, and a headline story in Scott Arfield's return to Falkirk. Two goals he's had in this first half. It's first after only 45 seconds. It was literally his first kick of the ball. Straight from kickoff, Falkirk played it long and they won a throw-in near the Thistle box. It was thrown into the box. It wasn't cleared by the Thistle back four and the ball fell to Arfield. Just quite simply, we've seen it so many times throughout his career. Side foot, firm side foot, 12 yards out, low into the corner of the net. But Thistle weren't to be defeated. 10 minutes, it was equaliser. A lovely goal by Logan Chalmers. Terry Abladi played him in behind the defence and the winger showed real composure, drove the ball low across the goalkeeper into the far corner of the net. A really good finish, and that sparked the Thistle fans into life, and the Falkirk defence were claiming for offside, but it stood because there's no VAR here. Falkirk reacted positively. A good touch by Oliver put Seb Ross in and space in the box. His angled shot was beaten away by David Mitchell. With the game swung to the other end, Stanway had an excellent chance, an excellent effort. The ball bounced nicely for him, 18 yards out, struck it well with his left foot, but it was a yard wide. But in 24 minutes, it was 2-1 to Partick Thistle. Logan Chalmers has been very bright throughout this first 45. Did well on the right, got to the byline, low cross, and it was turned into the net by Brian Graham from a few yards out. Falkirk skipper Cole Donaldson strode forward. It wasn't challenged. His shot dipped. He hit it really well, just a yard wide, with the goalkeeper beaten. But then in 31 minutes, the start of when the game turned against Thistle in a mad 5 minutes. Brian Graham was booked for stopping a free kick just on the halfway line, 31 minutes. 34 minutes, Falkirk equalised. Full by Adams, tripped in the box by Chalmers. Penalty saved, it was Brad Spencer that took it. Saved by Mitchell to his left. Gary Oliver's quickest onto the ball and into the net. And then in 36 minutes, a real blow to them because skipper Brian Graham got his second yellow card. He wasn't happy at the penalty, he wasn't happy at his yellow card, and he was late on his challenge on Luke Graham. I thought it was a bit harsh, the second yellow, but the referee gave him the second yellow and sent him off. Chris Doolan was also booked for that incident as well, for moaning at the officials. And it got really worse for Thistle with a really good team goal on 40 minutes. The goal came from Scott Arfield again. Really good move on the right-hand side into the box. The ball fell to him 16 yards out. Good touch. Very similar finish to the first goal. Side foot into the corner of the net. Gary Oliver almost made it worse for Thistle. Really good header. Looped onto the top of the net with Mitchell beating. What a terrific game to watch. Both sides going for it. And it'll be a tough 45 minutes ahead of Partick Thistle. Down to 10 men against a Falkirk team who will just keep going forward. Half-time here, Falkirk 3, Partick Thistle 2.
Great game, lots of drama there. It is half-time in the remaining fixtures as well. It's the closest we've got to being on track for a shock. I don't know if it will come to anything, but David Friel has been watching St Johnstone Hamilton.
Yeah, and if there is a shock here, I'm not sure if that'll cheer up the Hamilton Accies fans, Gordon. Strange atmosphere here, decent cup tie. St Johnstone 0, Hamilton 0 at the break. As I said, really strange feeling around this stadium just now. The rock and roll football team of Alla Carey promise for St Johnstone fans hasn't really materialised, and it's the Hamilton fans who are making all the noise with so much anger directed towards manager John Rankin and the board. The fans unveiled a banner urging them to go. They've also been aiming some, let's say, X-rated chants at him. Can't be easy for John Rankin's players to concentrate in times. All this is going on literally 40 yards away from him. But they are still in this cup tie. They started really well. Nikolai Todorov forced a good save from Andy Fisher inside the first minute. They then got a couple of corners. Ricky Lamy flicked one onto the back post for Todorov. He looked certain to score, he just couldn't connect. St Johnstone started to settle a bit. Sam Curtis had a terrific chance to open the scoring rooms all alone at the back post, but his close range header lacked power. Aki's managed to clear. Mackenzie Kirk's been a threat. Taylor Stephen had a goal from long range, but then St Johnstone had two great chances late in the first half. Mackenzie Kirk, 3-6 yards out, but could only direct it straight at Linus. And then Jonathan Svedberg had also the header save from a similar distance after good play from Taylor Stephen. So this tie is in the balance. Accies could be on for a shock, but they aren't happy with John Rankin and the board. Half time, St Johnstone 0, Hamilton 0.
Wow, what a occasion that is. It's certainly a bit of a strange atmosphere, as David Friel describes. So we'll keep an eye and see how that plays out. We'll get you the halftime picture, because there's another goal as well that we missed at the end of the half there. But we'll get the halftime picture from Dundee Airdrie when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the Scottish Cup games and the big championship game that we are featuring. I'm going to give you the story from Dave Galloway. In fact, let's do that right now, because how can we forget? We need to get Roger Hanna's 90-second Super Bowl for Dummies explainer, which we will get. But Dave Galloway has watched a bit of a goal fest. It's all one-way traffic.
Half time, Dundee 4, Airdrie 0. A bright start by Dundee. Cameron's corner touched over by Wright. Airdrie threatened with a quick break. Wilson's dangerous cross cleared impressively by Larkesh, with Mochrie ready to pounce. Wright did well to parry McGee's powerful long-range drive, but he was beaten on 13 minutes. Cameron's corner headed goalwards by Robertson. The keeper left the ball for whatever reason, and it went all the way in despite Tiffany stretching out a leg to try and get the final touch. It was 2-0 after 25 minutes. Cameron with a simple side foot finish from Tiffany's cutback from the byline after McDonald's poor back pass. Wilson's shot from the edge of the box was well saved as Airdrie tried to hit back, but Dundee went three ahead after 39 minutes. Poor defending again, and Tiffany set up Adewumi for an easy goal. Then it got even worse for the visitors, for the Diamonds. It was 4-0 after 43 minutes. Airdrie trying to play out from the back. Murray was having none of it, pounced on the ball and squared unselfishly for Cameron, who was completely unmarked, and he had a tap, and it is all over at the interval. Dundee 4, Airdrie 0.
What a game. Dave Galloway is seeing all one-way traffic, though no shocks there, that's for sure, at Lyle Cameron, and showing no psychological ill effects of having his future sorted elsewhere with a couple of goals. Go on then, Roger Hanna. Gordon Dalziel is not having this Super Bowl nonsense. He doesn't understand it. You have 90 seconds max to explain everything that goes into it. You take it away.
Here we go. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're chasing a historic three-peat tomorrow night. God, could become the first team in NFL history to win the Super Bowl in three successive seasons. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles 2 years ago. They beat the San Francisco 49ers in overtime last year. And now it's a rematch with the Eagles in New Orleans Superdome with a chance at unparalleled success. There's only five Chiefs playing in their fifth Super Bowl tomorrow. The quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. The tight end, Travis Kelce. He's the boyfriend of Taylor Swift, as you know. The pass rusher, Chris Jones. He's the boy you don't want to have road rage with. And then there's Daz's two favourites, Harrison Butker and James Winchester. The man who comes on to kick the ball and the man who comes on to hold the ball for him. They are the AFC champions after beating the Buffalo Bills. The Eagles are NFC champions after demolishing the Washington Commanders. They've Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and they have the best running back in the game in Saquon Barkley. It's his 28th birthday tomorrow, and he's dreaming of the ultimate gift. And here's one for Dazzler. The Eagles have the most successful red zone tactic in the game. It's called the tush push. And the offensive line, that's the big fellas, shove Hurts over the line. It sounds simple, but it's virtually unstoppable. We have an 8-page pullout in the Scottish Sun tomorrow. It starts at 11:30. You can get a lie in Monday morning, Daz. Don't go to the gym, because if you sit up, I think you'll see history. Saquon Barkley has been superb, but it's the Chiefs again by 3 points. Pat Mahomes, MVP.
Honestly, everything you needed
that's
to
good,
know.
Yeah.
Every detail covered in there.
It's worrying that he does that better than his match report.
That's the most sense he's ever spoken on this show. I do have worries, though, Roger Hanna, of what you've just set in motion. The thought it gets to 2 a.m. tomorrow night. Gordon Dalziel, he's on the recliner. He gets out the phone and he types in the tush push.
No.
I have no idea what sort of returns that's going to bring up on Google, and we will leave it there, because the second halves are coming up next.